I would invite you to turn with me this morning in your Bibles where we will be reading from the book of John. We're moving into the New Testament for a little while. I've been spending a lot of time together in the Old Testament, so moving forward into the New Testament, John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. I'm often amazed when we look at these stories in the New Testament, the teachings of Jesus, how they came about. I could just well imagine seeing Jesus and his disciples walking through the vineyards and Jesus stopping for a moment and offering them a teaching moment on pruning and things like that. And I just stand amazed at how God's holy word comes to us through those experiences that Jesus had with his disciples. Before we read God's holy word, let us pray. O God, most high, everlasting and lifted up, grant us by your Holy Spirit that in these words of Holy Scripture, our hearts may be lifted up and our mind set on the heavenly realities. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8, the word of the Lord. I am the true vine, my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it is even more fruitful. You are already clean because the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, if you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers, such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, my words remain in you, and ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to me, my disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his holy word. Amen. The Christian life has been defined as falling down, getting up. Falling down, getting up. Going all the way to heaven as such. And really, I think if we look at it, there's a lot more truth to that than we think. There's been an awful lot of sermons over the years preached from the pulpit that speaks of falling down, that speaks of our failures in life, that speaks of the sins and what we're to do about it. But the Bible also talks to us about being productive. Passages on that topic are the focus on today's message. John 15, verses 1 to 8. In this famous passage that records the words of Jesus to his disciples, spiritual productiveness is discussed in the terms of bearing fruit. In the 27 books of the New Testament, fruit is mentioned in 24 of them. It's a reference to being spiritually productive. And the other three books discuss the concept without using the word, the actual word fruit. So if we look at it, all the books of the New Testament have a lot to say about us being spiritually productive in our lives. This morning I would like to look at, there's six reasons why the subject of fruitfulness is found so often in Scripture. And I think it's something we need to spend some time on this morning because it needs to be thoroughly understood as believers in Christ. I think so often we come to church and we come and somehow we look at it that we've put our time in and that we're able to be part of church and then we go home and we live the rest of our lives the way we want and whatever the case is. And then we come back to church again on Sunday and we maybe think sometimes we've just cleaned the slate so we can start over. So as we work through these 6 points this morning, the first point is I think we see that fruitfulness is a mark of the genuineness of a believer. Fruitfulness is a mark of whether a believer has been genuinely born again or not. In Matthew 7:15-20, Jesus delivers a stern warning against those who come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. His summary conclusion was this: watch out for false prophets. It says they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, he says, they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes and figs from thistles? Likewise, every tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, and thus, by their fruit, he says, you will recognize them. I'm occasionally asked this question by people. I know there's a person out there who claims to be a Christian, and they live their lives just like anything else, and really, being a follower of Christ, their life hasn't really changed at all. Do you really think they're a Christian? My answer is, it's not for me to judge whether anyone's a Christian or not, but I know what Jesus says in his holy word is that we know people by their fruit. Some teachers and authors have claimed that it's possible to be a Christian and yet not manifest any corresponding fruit in your life at all, but I have a difficult time with that in light of the teachings of Jesus. You see, salvation is not reformation. Reforming your natural self, it's a transformation. It's giving you new life. I have to believe that there is going to be a difference in your life as a follower of Christ. I believe it's valid to warn those who claim to be Christians, but whose lives manifest nothing of Christ, to look within and make sure that they are in the faith. Those who believe they've become Christian when they were a young child especially need to see if their lives have been conformed over time to the image of Christ. I've spoken to people before and said, I was baptized as a baby, I'm in, and yet have never come to worship, never spent time in their word. They look at it as if there's nothing other to do than to punch your ticket. There's more to it than that. When we give our lives to Christ, it's about growing, it's about being pruned, it's about moving forward, it's about drawing closer, conforming to the image of Christ. Fruitfulness is the measure of your walk with the Lord. It's the measure of the Christian growth in spirituality and maturity in your lives. John 15, Jesus mentions three different levels of fruitfulness. Speaks of those who will bear fruit. Speaks of those who will bear more fruit. And those who will bear much fruit. We're certainly familiar with all three types, aren't we? We see it day to day. We know people who seem to be nominal Christians, bearing a little faith and a little fruit on the periphery of the Christian experience. The average Christian who bears more fruit, and they're in the middle of that bell-shaped curve. And then there are those who bear prodigious amounts of fruit, so much we wonder where in the world that they have this time and energy to do what they do. I think just as we make observations about others, though, we have to be careful, because so often people are making observations too about us as followers of Christ. So what do people see in terms of bearing fruit in our lives? I think it's a fair question that we need to ask. Fruitfulness is the motivation behind God's discipline. John 15:2 contains a very important principle that we need to apply to every genuine believer in some point in their lives. Pruning. Put it another way, it's a principle of God's discipline to make us more fruitful than what we are. Jesus said, "Every branch that bears fruit, my Father prunes, that it may bear more fruit." preparing us to bear more fruit accounts for, in my opinion, a large part of the difficulties of life sometimes that we're going through as believers. And I think if we learn to trust and obey God more than we did before the difficulty begins. We know that from those who own vineyards that every year after harvest, the vines are pruned, they're clipped back, the dead branches are thrown away, the vine comes back stronger and fruitful, more fruitful the next year. Same thing happens in our lives. When God is doing this pruning work for us, and I think one of the reasons why God does this pruning in our lives is to keep us from expending our energy to these unproductive areas in our lives. You see, I believe Jesus prunes us in order that he redirects our attention to the investments of time and talent and his gifts so that we can bear more fruit. It's not what we're doing is bad. But it's just it wasn't the best or the most fruitful. The irony is that the more fruitful you become, the more opportunities for you to get involved in different areas of life or making a difference in someone's life or ministry. And you know that if we're overextended, our spiritual energy or resources are drained. It's the pressure pruning that God brings us back to the spot where we need to reevaluate and choose more carefully of where we are investing our time and talents and treasure. God uses his pruning shears to lop off areas in our life that are not fruitful. And he does it so that we can become more fruitful. Not for right now, but for in the seasons to come. I think that all of us can look back in our lives and how we've come through that process. And how we know that feeling in our lives of the vine dressers pruning shears. Another point is fruitfulness is the method of touching other people. Fruit bearing, it's not about us. It's about other people. We don't bear fruit in our own lives so we can consume it ourselves. But we do so that it might benefit others. For instance, Galatians 5:22, when we bear fruit, the fruit of love, we don't turn that love on ourselves. We turn it on to others. Came across a little story to help us understand this illustration this morning. There was a woman who took a first aid class to help others. One day, there was a terrible auto accident right in front of her house, and the victims were in very bad shape, and just the sight of it made her feel faint. But she remembered in her first aid class that she learned if she was going to feel faint, she had to bend over to put her head between her knees. So she did, and she survived. Now, this is an example of someone missing the point of the first aid class. It was to help others, not herself. And that's the same with the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We're bearing fruit for Christ, yes. We will be loving, we will be joyful and peaceful and all the rest. But those qualities will overflow in our lives and bless and benefit others who we meet. Another point, fruitfulness is the manifestation of Christ to the world. For 3 years, Jesus was personally present on planet Earth. He continued to manifest himself on Earth, but in an entirely different way through the lives of Christians. That's why the New Testament expression, the body of Christ, is so appropriate. Christ is still ministering to people on earth today. But we, the church, we are his body. We are his hands and we are his feet to a world that's hurting and so needs Christ in their lives. Over the years, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, but sometimes you find yourself in this situation that are unplanned and has the potential to be surprising. But there's this little prayer that I sometimes pray and I say, Lord, help me to be the presence of Christ in this situation. I think when we meet someone and we overflow the manifestation of Christ in our lives and we're in that spot where it's difficult to do that, I think that's a very valid prayer to pray. And I think it's a prayer that God will always answer in our lives. Lord, help me be the presence of Christ in this situation. Christ wants to use us to make himself known on earth. We can be his voice. We can be his wisdom in any situation. We can be his love where there needs to be love. We can be his forgiveness where there needs to be forgiveness. We can be what we need to be for him when we are bearing fruit for him. Sometimes I wonder if non-Christians might be surprised if they were able to meet Jesus in person. Would they exclaim, so that's what you're like? I never knew. You see, if we're bearing the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that comes from being connected to the vine, which is Jesus, then they will see him when they see us. Fruitfulness is the means of glorifying the Father. Last verse in this section of verses is probably the most powerful. This is my Father's glory, that you may bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples, in verse 8. If you're like me, you probably haven't heard many sermons on how to glorify God. But we know this is something we've been called to do. It's something we're supposed to do. But we're not exactly sure how this is to happen. This verse answers the question. God is glorified when we bear much fruit, when we become productive disciples of Christ. If bearing fruit means being like Christ, it's not hard to see how that would bring glory to God. The Son glorifies the Father, which he does, and you and I become more like the Son, that is to glorify God. We would do that as well then. We would glorify him. When someone says something nice to my wife and I about one of our kids, we're glorified because one of our kids are praised. But on the other hand, if one of our kids growing up had gotten into trouble, believe you me, we certainly did not feel glorified. Fruitfulness. It's one of those words. What is that? We've said about bearing fruit glorifies God. We should ask, what does it mean for us to bear fruit? And I think we need to look at a few of these points this morning so it will give us some indication. Fruitfulness is character. Who we are. Galatians 5, 22, 23, we are told the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the manifestation of the life of Christ in us. Joy, peace, love, patience, faithfulness, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the qualities of Jesus Christ. And those qualities shine forth in the person who is filled with the Holy Spirit. A person who claims to be a Christian should have these character traits that include the ninefold fruit of the Spirit. So am I loving? It's a question we need to ask. Am I faithful? Am I joyful? Am I good? Am I kind? Am I becoming more fruitful in my life? If you are, then there is evidence that you're bearing fruit for Christ through your character. Fruitfulness is conduct, what you do. It's not only character in our lives, but it's conduct as well. Romans 6:21 talks about being a slave to sin, and Paul asks, what fruit did you have then in the things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Paul points out to us this morning that there is bad fruit as well as good fruit. We're a slave to sin. Our conduct in bearing fruit leads to spiritual death. But when we are slaves to God, you have your fruit of holiness right to the end. Everlasting life. So our conduct is the manifestation of the fruit bearing in our lives, the fruit of death, or it is the fruit of life. You can't sit on the fence. It's either the fruit of death or the fruit of life. Fruitfulness is the contributions of what you give. You might be surprised to know how the financial giving to the Lord is a measure of your fruitfulness. Paul's writing to the church in Rome and talking about the contributions to the church of Macedonia to those needy saints in Jerusalem, and he refers to those financial gifts as fruit in Romans 15:28. So when you and I take the financial resources that God's given us and pass them on to the church through an offering, whatever the cause may be, or giving to a person in need, we are bearing fruit. God is the giver. We know he's given his only begotten Son, and Jesus is a giver. He willingly gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins. So when we give, we're acting like the Father and the Son. In other words, we are bearing Christ in our fruit. People who claim to be Christians and do not give of their resources are not bearing fruit in this area of life. And as we said earlier, you shall know them by their fruits. Anyone who loves Christ is going to invest not only in their time and talent, but their treasures as well, the things of Christ. Fruitfulness is communication also. It's what you say. Here's what Hebrews 13:15 says about the fruit that comes through our mouths. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continue to offer to God the sacrifice of praise. The fruit of our lips openly professes his name. You see, if your heart is full of Jesus Christ, the fruit of his presence is going to out of your mouth in various forms of praise. It's like a person who claims to be a Christian and still uses language that doesn't bring praise to God. Then there's a reason for that person to re-examine their relationship with Christ. This verse is about the worship and its context in Scripture. Worship is part of bearing fruit that glorifies God. It's impossible to be a Christian and not love worshiping Christ. You shall know them by their fruits. Here's a tough point. Fruitfulness is the converts, those who you win to Christ. When we win someone to Christ, we are what Proverbs 11:30 calls wise. The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who gains souls is wise. Years ago, there was this big push on in our Christian culture, focused mostly on soul winning. Your fruit was measured by how many people you led to Christ. Sitting at a meeting once when a church was looking at calling a pastor, one of the questions was, how many people you've brought to Christ? And immediately said, I brought over 300 people to Christ. Others had not reached that bar that he had set, sat there with faces hanging low. Most people I know, they're either afraid to try or they just don't know how to bring people to Christ. And on top of that, how many pastors make their congregations guilty about not going out, holding up signs and witnessing and winning souls to Christ? They somehow make it a badge of conversion. That, of course, brothers and sisters, is not true. Evangelism and sharing the gospel is one of the ways we can manifest our relationship with Christ, and it's an important one, but it is no more important than any of the rest points we've had this morning. In fact, I would go as far as saying we are bearing fruit in the first four ways I've mentioned earlier through the conduct in our lives, through the character in our lives, through our contributions and communication. And if that is the case, if that is the lives that we are living, the fifth one, converts, will happen naturally. Anyone who is manifesting Christ, is excited about the relationship with him, is going to make that relationship known. We don't keep it a secret that we're followers of Christ. I'm going to close briefly in a moment, but there's a statement someone wrote. They said, if you were arrested on charges of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you in a court of law? It's a good question, isn't it? How would you answer it today? You see, we don't study the Word of God to argue or show off how spiritual we are. We study the Word of God to see Jesus Christ and to know Him better, to glorify Him in our lives. And as witnesses that we are in this hostile word, the Spirit uses the Word He taught us, and we share Jesus with the lost. It's our job to witness, the Spirit's job to convict. We began this message this morning in the vineyard, but I truly believe we've ended in the throne room. If we're not acting as branches and obeying as friends, we'll never be able to face the opposition of this world. If we don't love others, we can't reach others. If we abide in Him, if we stay close to Him, we can do anything Jesus calls us to do. Be branches and bearing fruit. As friends here at Emmanuel, we share His love and bear fruit. As our branches are, be prepared to be pruned by the Father. As friends of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're instructed to be following His Son, and His world, His Word controls our lives. We are so grateful for that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that You remove any areas in our lives that hinder us from being fruitful in Your service. Thank You that You've given everything that is needful for godly living and a fruitful life. Search our heart, Fathers, for any hidden sin that may hinder our spiritual growth, and discover any areas that need to be cut away at the root that prevent us from living a truly fruitful life. We pray that You will finish the good work You've started in each of us, so that we may be faithful in Your service to the praise and glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.